Good morning to you all. It's good to be together this morning after quite a few busy days, at least for some of us, with the Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Christmas after day, Christmas after day. But it's good to be together this morning. Let's start by praying. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you so much that we are here together today. We thank you that you've given us life, that we're breathing, that we're present. And we thank you that you are with us. And you are here. And we ask this morning for favor. We ask that you would help us to see you, Jesus. We pray that we would hear you and that you would teach us, Holy Spirit. So we commit this time acknowledging our weakness. We commit it to you, acknowledging we need help. And we take the posture now of learners sitting at your feet, Jesus, under your word, declaring you as King. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, this is the final gathering before we enter into a new era, a new year. 2025 is right around the corner. 2024 is coming to a close. And this final sermon is not part of a series, but it's going to be kind of a closing of our year together. And so what we'll do is we'll take the next 2 hours and go through the book of Micah together. And no, we will not be doing that. But we're going to take a little bit of time and reflect together upon who Jesus is and what he's done and who we are, and then how we should live in light of those things, those realities. And so this morning, we're actually going to be looking at Psalm 46 together. So if you have your Bibles and you want to follow along, I'm going to read Psalm 46. And then we're going to walk our way through that together. Psalm 46, beginning in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of the Lord. This has been a psalm that over the past however long it's been, I've been thinking about, meditating on. It's ministered to my heart in the midst of my heart being troubled and anxious and worried and sometimes overwhelmed. It's been a good place for me to be, to reflect upon who God is and what He has done and who am I and how I should react to those truths. This particular psalm is actually, the psalms, as you, if you remember, are broken up into three books. All of the psalms together, actually three different books smashed together. And this is the second book in that series of the psalms. And it's actually a psalm, you might have noticed, that is broken down into three parts. And there is a refrain throughout this song that is mentioned twice. In verses 7 and 11, and we'll mention that in a few minutes. And then you also mentioned that you probably noticed in your copy of the Bible that there's a little word there called that says Selah, and that's just for lack of getting into big discussion on it, it's a word that means just to pause and to reflect and to think about what you just heard spoken or just read, to reflect upon. So there's three parts to this psalm, and those are the three parts that we're going to walk through together today. Psalm 46, interestingly enough, is actually the psalm also that inspired Martin Luther's majestic hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And so you see those themes throughout the hymn that he wrote, and also in this psalm that envisions this. This age when the Messiah, Jesus, comes and war will cease. And we saw that at His first advent, as we've been thinking about His first coming, Christ inaugurated that new age. And at His second coming, when He returns and we have a new earth and a new heaven, He will consummate it. War will be no more. So let's jump in. I'm going to reread verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Maybe already you might begin to identify with some of the things that the psalmist is talking about here. And the first thing that he brings up and establishes as a foundation for us is these two realities, these two truths, that God is our refuge and He is our strength. Two things that are very similar but distinct. In the midst of a storm, if you've ever been in a really big storm, it's great to be in a really safe, solid place. Or if you're running from someone that's trying to harm you, it's good to be in a place where you know no one can touch me here. So Christ is that refuge for us. He is the protector, the one where no one can touch us, because He is our protector. No storm can get in. But He's also our strength, the one that strengthens our weak bodies and our weak hearts and our weak minds. And He's also a very present help, not a distant help, but He's very present. He's promised, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will always be with you." What He promised to His disciples and what He's promising to us here this morning is that He is a present help. He is here with us this morning. He's here when you leave. He's here when you are home and at work tomorrow, wherever you are. He's a present help, not just in the good times, but when you think everything around me is collapsing and nothing's going right and there's only heartache and pain and disaster, He is there. He is present. And so the psalmist starts with this as our foundation. And the first thing that he mentions are these natural storms that we experience in our life. And there probably are just some spiritual correlations that we can make. But this morning I'm just going to mention natural storms. You know, we experience in our earth storms all the time. And storms can scare us, they can awe us, they can inspire us, they can do all kinds of things to us. They can harm us, they can help us. But we live in a earth that is full of storms and disasters. And the psalmist mentions some of those. Just the earth is being moved. Everything's melting. Everything's falling apart. And if you just look, follow the news a little bit, you can see that, yes, we have a lot of storms in our world. And just in 2024, just in the U.S., there were the top 24 storms alone were storms that each caused at least $1 billion worth of damage. Each of those disasters and resulted in 418 people perishing and a huge amount of economic disasters. Storms all over the world. I mean, there some that we don't always hear about, but there was the tropical storm that killed 100 people this year in the Philippines. There was the wildfires that killed 136 people in Chile. There was heavy flooding recently in Spain that killed 224 people. There was a heat wave this year in Saudi Arabia that killed 1,300 people on a pilgrimage. And so these storms just go. There's all these storms that we experience, people experience. But the psalmist is pointing out God, Jesus, is present in the midst of those tragedies. I remember when Hurricane Katrina hit, at the time my family was in Louisiana, so I was overseas and I flew back, and I remember helping a family that had gotten hit by the storm, and they asked if I could come and help them. And I remember going through the city, a part of New Orleans that had been totally underwater. All you saw was the roofs. And the soldiers stopped us at the checkpoint, let us go in because we had residency, the family that I was with. We first stopped at a church where I had spoken at in previous times, and just to see the disaster of this building of total destruction, the smell was horrible. And then we went to their house, and the house you couldn't even get into because the way we do things in hurricanes, you board up all the windows and all the doors with plywood. You take all that off, and then hopefully you can open the door. But this time you couldn't open any doors because all the stuff in the house was against the door. It was impossible to open the door because everything in the house had been underwater. And I remember watching as this family just took, there was nothing left, nothing. Everything that they owned was destroyed. So where was God? Well, he was present. He was very present. He was. So we go through these storms, natural storms that affect us. And the psalmist reminds us that he's a present help in trouble. Then also, the psalmist mentions in verses 4 through 7, I'll read that, another type of storm. He said, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." There's so much in these verses that be so good to just go through and think about together, but time is not allowing us to do that. But just as just to highlight a couple of things here, one reminder is that we live in a time of political storms, political unrest. Kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, wars rage all around the world. Kingdoms that you thought, oh, this tyrant will never leave, fall. Saw that just recently in the Middle East. I remember a few years ago when we were living in Romania, being there when every night the streets were packed with protesters. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people chanting for the government to be finished. Because of some corrupt things that were happening. And you hear these protesters, and I remember being there among them, And there's this storm that's happening, this political unrest. What will happen in our country? What's going to happen? Last year when I was in Ukraine and being with these dear people that had experienced war for so long and just the heartache and the pain, but to be with these brothers and sisters that were loving Jesus and knew very well that He is present. God is present here with us. He has not left us. Was a reminder to me of just the comfort and the goodness that Christ brings to His children in the midst of political storms. In J.R.R. Tolkien's The Lord of the Ring, there's a moment when Gandalf the Grey speaks to Aragorn, and he says, "Look to my coming at first light on the fifth day. At dawn, look to the east." And that was that moment signifying that he would arrive to aid them in battle at the break of dawn on the fifth day. And when they looked towards the east, they'd see his arrival. Rescue had come. In this psalm, there's this picture of two kingdoms, two situations, two realities that are happening. In verses 6, you see this chaos, nations rage, kingdoms totter, earth is melting. And then you have a picture of another kingdom, the kingdom of God, this new heaven that is unmovable, unshakable. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. There's a promised reality of Christ coming to rescue us, to restore us, to renew us, to make all things right. And then we see for the first time that refrain in verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This is the refrain that we see, the reminder that we see, picking up on verse 4, that He's a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. And so He's reinforcing that and saying, "The Lord of hosts, the King, is with us. He is not against us. He is not far off. He is present. He is with us. He is our fortress." And then moving on to verses 8 through 11, there's another type of storm that's mentioned. And we're going to spend a little more time on this because it's one that we can all relate to. There's different types of storms in life that come and they can shake us. They can move us. Maybe it's natural storms that maybe you have or have not experienced, disasters that have shaken you, or maybe that's a political situation that's shaken us. But there are also internal storms that definitely shake us all. Verses 8 through 11, the psalmist says, "Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." First thing that's mentioned here is an invitation for us. First of all, maybe it's just a recognition that most likely, safe prediction is that we've all had internal storms this year. Things in our heart that have caused us to be anxious or frightened or worried. And you know what those things are, those things that just cause us to not have peace, to not be at rest. And the psalmist is giving us first an invitation. Come, come, come and see. Remember that episode when Jesus is talking to a man by the name of There's a conversation going on between a man named Nathanael and Philip. And we see this in John chapter 1 and verse 46. And the invitation is to come and see. I found the Savior, Jesus. And Nathanael says to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Come on, get real. You know where that is? And Philip says to him, "Come and see. Come and see. You don't believe me? Come and see." Same invitation is for us. Sometimes when we doubt the goodness of God, the reality of His presence with us, He says to us, "Come. Come and see. Come and see." Come and see the works of the Lord. Come and see how He has brought desolations on the earth. How He has the final word. How He is King over all. Bruce Waltke, in his commentary on the Psalm, he points out how salvation history teaches the faithful, teaches believers to hope. In Isaiah 2, 24, it says, he makes wars cease to the end of the earth. And that's a promise that's consummated in the last days. Let me just read that in Isaiah 2. "It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that He may teach us His ways, and that we may walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more.'" So the scripture says He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. And then He goes on to remind us that, and we're told to be still, but oftentimes in the scriptures we're told also to take action. But there's a time to be still, there's a time to be action, to take action. But in the midst of these internal storms, struggles that come, there's a feeling, if you felt this before, just a feeling of hopelessness. This recognition that I can't do anything to help in this situation. So maybe you're thinking of that time when you've experienced that. For me, there's many, many moments like that. One was a few months ago. So I guess it's been about 6 months ago now, when our daughter was born, and we found ourselves unexpectedly, with no warning, in the NICU, and this little baby all hooked up to tons of tubes and so many doctors around her, and you're going, what is going on? And this utter feeling of hopelessness and fear and worry and sad and all these things, emotions, feeling of hopelessness. Internal storm happening. But God is a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. To kind of highlight this a little more, let's look together at a passage in the New Testament, in the book of Mark. It's a story that you're all very familiar with. In Mark chapter 4, and I'll just read it. Mark chapter 4, and beginning in verse 35. "On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, 'Let us go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" A familiar story, but a shocking story, and a good reminder for us of this reality that Jesus is present with us. We have this storm. Jesus is exhausted and he's sleeping, and there's a conflict, a storm that's happening outside of the boat and inside the boat. You see, the storm is not the problem. Storm was not the problem. It's simply the external means by which our heart's struggles are exposed. Jesus asked them a question: why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? The answer to that question is found in the second question: have you still no faith? You see, there was a lack of trust, a lack of faith in who God was and what he had done and who they were, accepted and loved. And the outworking was fear. Why are you so afraid? And the answer: because they didn't have the faith to trust in Christ. And that is rooted in the assumption that's found in verse 38. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" So their assumption was Jesus doesn't care. And therefore, they had a lack of trust that led to fear. And then Jesus, you know, he wakes up. He rebukes the wind. He calms, speaks to the sea. His authority as king over creation. He is creator over his creation. And there's a great calm. But they were filled with this awe and this fear. Who in the world is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Everything is subject to him. So all of these sections that we've been working through, there's a common reality, is that Jesus is king over each of those areas. He's king over creation, he's king over politics, and he's king over our hearts. Or he wants to be king over our hearts. What is going on in our hearts when we're dealing with all these fears and these worries? Brian Borgman, in his helpful book, Feelings and Faith, says this about worry and fear. He said, "Those are emotions that overlap. To worry is to feel uneasy or anxious about something. There are troubling thoughts associated with worry. Anxiety, though, looks like worry amped up a few volts. There are troubling thoughts associated with those as well. Then, though, there is fear. Fear is the emotion of serious distress, what we saw with those disciples, which is aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain, whether real or imagined. Fear makes us feel helpless. Fear hauntingly reminds us we are not in control, and there is nothing we can do about it." It was David Powelson who wisely said, if what you most value can be taken away or destroyed, then you set yourself up for anxiety or for real fear. If what you most value can be taken away or destroyed, then you set yourself up for anxiety. One of the things that is so important for us as children of God is to learn to trust. And trust requires us to be humble, to recognize I'm not in control over the storms of life, whatever those storms are. It's simply trusting, being humble before God. It's in Hebrews, it says, "Humble yourself under the hand of the mighty God. Don't be anxious. Cast all your cares." The first part of that, "Don't be anxious, cast all your cares upon him," is to be humble. Humble yourself. It's a humble recognition. Jesus, help me. Help me. It's not conditional. If you spare me from this suffering, then I will. No, it's simply trust. We trust Him because He's God. Not because He's going to immediately remove all of our problems, our anxieties, or even our fear-provoking situation. But He is present and He is with us through that. So whatever situation we find ourselves in, the Scripture repeats, and the psalmist repeats, not that. That was my timer. But repeats this refrain. It's not found in Psalm 46. And that's why you have what your title is. It's a needed refrain. Refrain can have two meanings. One, it's don't do it. And one, in the English language, is it's to be repeated. And so it's something that we need to repeatedly remind ourselves of, is that this God come in human flesh, born in a manger, lived a perfect sinless life, walked among us, gave His life, and He is with us. He is our fortress. He is with us. He is King. No matter whether it's political upheaval, so from the halls of Washington, D.C., to a war-torn, forsaken villages in Eastern Europe, to the dark alleys of Mumbai, Jesus is King. Over senators, over soldiers, over mafia, over you, Jesus is King. That hair that falls from your head in the midst of your shopping at the grocery store, the bird that drops in the densest of forest, the cry of thousands of His people enslaved and abused in Egypt, Jesus sees. He hears. He cares. He is there. He is King over all. It was Abraham Kuyper in his inaugural address at the Free University said, "There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, 'Mine.'" Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German theologian who eventually was hanged in Nazi Germany, wrote in his book, The Cost of Discipleship, he has a famous line that says, "When Christ calls a man, He bids him come and die." But the context, let me read the larger context for that. He said this in his book, "The cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man which is the result of his encounter with Christ. As we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with His death. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning of our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, He bids him come and die. It may be a death like that of the first disciples who had to leave home and work to follow Him, or it may be a death like Luther's who had to leave the monastery and go out into the world. But it is the same death every time. Death in Jesus Christ, the death of the old man at His call." The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You see, the needed refrain as we close 2024 and as we stand on the doorstep of 2025 is the reminder to stop and remember the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In the midst of natural chaos that will probably come, in the midst of political chaos that will probably come, in the midst of internal chaos that will probably come, Jesus is with us, and He is telling us today, "Peace, be still." It's a peace that can only be experienced as we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, as we surrender to Him. and that offer is available for all people to come and see. Romans says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's the invitation to come. To come. Come and die. Lay down, give up one life to take on real life. And if you are a child of God, and you've entered into relationship with Christ, there might also be some unbelief in your heart at the end of 2024 that might need to be confessed and repented of. Because the gospel is the good news. It's the good news that Jesus has come to rescue, renew, and restore all things in and through the work of Jesus Christ. He is our peace in the midst of storms. He is with us today, with us tomorrow, with us forever, whatever the storm is that we find ourselves in. He is our refuge and our strength. In closing, I want to read the hymn that Martin Luther wrote, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, a man that knew much about storms in his life. It's a hymn that it's a celebration of the sovereign power of God over all earthly and spiritual forces, and of the sure hope we have in him because of Christ. He penned these words, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our shelter he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Does ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth is his name. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also. The body they may kill. God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your kingdom is forever and that you are a very present help in trouble. You're our refuge. You're our strength. And so I pray, Father, your blessing upon us as your church, that when we find ourselves in a storm, that we would look to you and to not anything else. And you would rescue us and you'd help our hearts to be still and help us to freshly see that you are God, a very present help in trouble. We recognize that you've been with us over this year. We recognize this, that you're with us today. And we recognize as we have a year before us, and if we get to live through it, that you will be with us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.